Welcome. Give a cold handshake. If you have a warm one, I'd love to shake your hand this morning. So good to see you all. You brave the weather. It's beautiful weather, right? It's beautiful weather. It might have been taking a bit longer to get out of bed this morning, but it's okay. It's okay. You are all here, and we are here before God and in the presence of God. And it is my great honor and a privilege to welcome you all and to share God's word with you this morning. And we're going to complete our series on a generous life with a message titled Blessed. The scripture says that we are blessed. We are blessed people to be a blessing. Right? We are already blessed people to be a blessing. So I want to ask you this. What immediately comes to your mind when I say Nick Kube is a man who is blessed? Look at him. Look at him. Right? Now, Nick and Monique is on camp. Nick and Monique is on camp. I send them off. I dump them there. And they'll be freezing down there, but that's okay because he's a blessed man, right? What comes to mind? What comes to mind when I say Nick is a blessed man? I'm going to give you a moment to think about it.
Amazing sisters.
Oh, my goodness. Let's just, right, because some of you might have thought, yes, he's a blessed man because he has a great mum and dad, right? Which he does, great mum and dad, right? He's a blessed man because he has amazing sisters, right? If you want to come and check, that's what it says, right? Brother-in-laws, he has amazing brother-in-laws. Maybe he is blessed because he has a wonderful wife, a beautiful child. He's blessed because he has a house, a car, a job, an income, is of good health. Well, if you want to know my thoughts, he is blessed because he knows us. Right? He's blessed because he knows us, isn't that? Yeah? Yeah? But seriously, when we consider someone to be blessed, I believe that our view of that person being blessed is based on the foundation of what we value as important. What I value as important, if I see that in that person, I will say, you are blessed. Right? That person is blessed. So think about that. What I value in life leads me to believe whether a person is blessed or not. So if I value and consider children as important, right, which they are, until they grow up and become teenagers. But that's another story. No, I love teenagers. They are a blessing, right? Nick is a blessed man, for he has a child. He is a blessed man. So let me ask you this question. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? No matter what you're facing today, what you are going through, where you see yourself, what you might be going through, what you might have or do not have, do you consider yourself as blessed or not? And based on your answer, what is the foundation which you see yourself as blessed? What's the foundation, underlying foundation that you're saying, that you're basing your decision that you're blessed or not? What is it? Now, I'm going to come back to this question later in the message. So with this in mind, let's examine how we are blessed, that we are a blessed people who are called to live a generous life as a blessing to those around us. So to give like context and a lead into the book of Malachi, I'm just going to give you an outline of the book of Malachi, because it's not a book that we preach often from, nor do we read much from. So who knows where Book of Malachi is? I'm not going to look over there. I'm going to kind of, oh, yes, Yechan, yes. It's just before the New Testament. Yes, absolutely right. It's the last book of the Old Testament, right? Last book of the Old Testament. But if you want to read the actual context, you have to read it in sequence with Ezra, Nehemiah, and Malachi, because it was only written about 100 years into coming back from the exile. Right, 100 years returned, Israel had returned from the Babylonian exile. And his message was directed at the people who have been living in Jerusalem for some time now. They've returned, the second temple has been built, and they've gone into the way of life. When the first Israelites had come back from the exile, their hopes were high. They had this grand vision of how God will renew and restore the kingdom. They thought about the Messiah coming. They thought about the milk and honey, right? They were the chosen people. They were the blessed people. But none of that actually happened. None of that happened. Unfortunately, the Israelites who repopulated the city proved just as unfaithful to God as their ancestors were prior to the exile. They turned away from God. There was injustice and poverty again. And the book of Malachi tells us how corrupt this new generation of Israelites were and how they had become in such a way. So the book is designed as a series of disputes, arguments between God and Israel. God will say something, you have done this. Israel will say, how did we do this? We didn't do this. And God says, but you did this. And he has a final statement. There's six of these discourse throughout the book of Malachi. And we're going to look at number five, right? And so just to recap, in the first three disputes in chapters 1 and 2, God exposes Israel's corruption. While in the final three chapters in the dispute in chapter 3, God confronts their corruption. And the overall impression we get from reading these disputes is that the exile didn't change the hearts of the people. Their hearts were as hard as ever. And finally, in chapter 4, God foretells of what is to come for the faithful, those who stay true to his word, and the coming of the Messiah. Did you get that? Those who stay true to his word. That's something that God says to the Israelites. So it is in this context that we have our reading. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 12. Let's read what God is saying to us. So if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to open them, leave them open. If you have your devices, find Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. We're going to read from verse 6, chapter 3. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithe and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. This is God's word for us today. So let's have a look at this passage and explore what it says about living a generous life as one who is blessed. Firstly, what we notice is that God calls the Israelites to return. Return to his love. He says, I, the Lord, do not change. God hasn't changed. His love for his chosen people hasn't changed. And it does not change, but it is humanity who changes. God's covenant promises, His will for us, His plans and purposes for us does not change. As we know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away, Jesus warns. Or Paul, right? Jesus through Paul warns. Carried away by all kinds of strange teachings, it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. Actually, I shouldn't have said Paul, because it might not be Paul who wrote Hebrews. We don't know the author. Strengthened by what? By the grace of God. By the grace of God. The Israelites had forgotten the love and grace of God. They did not consider themselves blessed, because what they valued the most was not the love and grace of God, but it was other things. And they were pursuing other things. They had turned away from God. However, what we must remember is that our relationship with God is a personal relationship. And what we should value the most in that relationship is not what God can provide for us, but what He has already provided for us. He's already given to us an amazing love. We just sang it. Amazing love, amazing grace from the cross. To know this and understand this is a person who is truly blessed. To know what we have already received from the cross. To know this, to understand this is a person truly blessed. And we all need to remind ourselves every day of the grace of God, the sacrifice that Jesus gave for me, and reflect on what that means for me today and every day, every day. Church, what do you value most in your relationship with Jesus? What do you value most? Is it what He can provide? Or is it what He has already done? Those who are truly blessed are those who are in a right relationship with Jesus, who knows the price which was paid on the cross. If we have drifted away from that, then God is calling us to turn back. Come back. Come back to my love. Return to His love is the first step to knowing that we are a blessed person, to be a blessing. That is the first step. Second thing that we observe in the passage is that we need to honor God with our lives. Turn away from our sinful, selfish ways, as Luke 12:34 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What we value most, what we deem as important, our hearts will pursue. Is our heart, is my heart, is your heart drawn to God? Are we desiring more of Jesus? You know, yesterday we dropped our kids off on camp. And I had a sense to pray. Right? I had a sense to pray. So we gathered some adults and we just, in the place where they're going to have worship, and we prayed. And there was such an outpouring of the Spirit. Such an outpouring of the Spirit. I didn't want to leave that place. I wanted to stay. I wanted to pray more. Actually, the leaders were saying, kind of giving us a hint on the microphone, "Are we ready? Are we going to let the kids in?" And here we are on the floor just prostrate before God, praying. Eventually, we had to stop ourselves. But I wanted more of that. Do we desire more of God? Or is it something else that we are pursuing in our lives? Our reading says in verse 8, "Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you?" God says, in tithe and offerings. Giving an offering and seeking a blessing is not right. It's not the right heart to have. Our God is not a transactional God. And if anyone says that, or anyone preaches that, give more money to get a blessing, that is wrong. That is wrong doctrine. That is wrong theology. Never be mistaken about that. Never fall into that trap. That is wrong. God doesn't need our money. Everything is His. It's already His. But He invites us. He invites us to give our heart to Him. In this loving relationship, He is saying, what He is saying is, I want your heart. And where your heart is, you will be drawn to, you'll give to, your resources, financial, time, everything that you have, you will give into. It's not only about money. What or who your heart is drawn to, that is what you will treasure. That is what you will give yourself to, everything you have. I want you to think about it. What do you give to the most? Now, you know, because the Spirit is working in you to say, well, actually, here you go. This is what you are working to and drawn to, looking forward to. For the Israelites, they were drawn to the temptation of the world, the flesh, and the temptation of the devil. Is God our treasure? Is He my treasure? Or are we too drawn to the temptations of the world, or the flesh, or the devil? What the devil is saying to us. I want you to think about this. Not just today, but every day. As you sit in front of the Word of God, and as you're in His presence, and as you're gazing upon His face, as you're praying and allowing Him to search your heart and committing yourself to Him, allow Him to speak to you and reveal those things to you. Bring them before God. There will be so much joy in your life. Anyway, are we drawn to the world? Well, God says, and there's Bible verses there, Deuteronomy 2:7 says, God will bless and provide, that we will lack nothing. Matthew 6:31, 33 says, He knows what we need and will provide, so seek Him and His righteousness. Philippians 4:19 says, all our needs are met in Christ Himself. So we're basically told not to be concerned, for God already knows what we need even before we utter a word. And He will provide, and it will be met in according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. It will be met through His Son. So that our very lives should be an offering to God, that our hearts are turned to Him to seek Him and His righteousness. That is the first and foremost things. The offerings, the tithe were given to us for our benefit, not God's. It was given to us for our benefit. The offerings were for us to realize our sinful state, the state that we were in, the cost of that state, the price which had to be paid, and the tithe was for us to put our trust in God, the call to give the first fruits. Actually, in those times, they did not know how much fruit or how much harvest that they would get in the first fruits. So the first lot that came in, once you harvested and gave it to God, you're waiting to see how God will provide. It is a trust relationship. And God's inviting us into that. Trust in me. I will provide. I will provide. And He has done it over and over and over. Yet the Israelites continue to turn away. continue to turn away. And we have to be careful as well. Right? We are fallen, broken human. And we can't say because we come to church on a Sunday, I'm immune to it. No. Believe me, the ones who attend church on a Sunday will be the ones who will be attacked the most, will be tempted the most, will be drawn to the world the most, unless we remind ourselves who we are in Christ, the grace that we've received. We are called to put our trust in Him. You know, the Israelites, when you read Malachi in the preceding chapters, they offer lame animals, they offer blind lambs. The giving, the sacrifice, was an obligation. It was a duty. Here, God, have some of this. Their heart was not in it, but it was a formality, a duty, an offering of obligation and compulsion. But that is not what God is seeking. He wanted His chosen people to give tithe and offering in trust and out of love and joy, out of a heart of gratitude. It's all about the heart. Unlike the Israelites, God showed us and gave us the perfect, unblemished sacrifice. He provided the first fruit of His Son to us. Why? Because He loves us and He's pursuing us. He's drawn to us. Jesus took on the shame of the cross. Why? Why did He do that? For us. What has Jesus got to lose? He has the Father and the Spirit, and they're in perfect unity, perfect love for all of eternity. But He took on all of that because there was one thing that was missing. He wanted us to be into that relationship together. And God's inviting us into that. He's showing us that. That in the death and resurrection of Jesus for sinners, the riches of the glory of God are seen most vividly. And the riches of the glory of God are experienced most fully when Jesus dwells in us, in our hearts through faith, calling us to honor God with our lives. Now, how do we do this? How do we do this? We need to be faithful to the Word. Faithful to the Word. Romans 12, 1 to 2 says this, and it's a well-known passage, and you know it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. In the Epistle to the Romans, Paul lays out from chapter 1 to this point, chapter 11, the state of humanity, what Jesus did, and this passage that we have just read is a turning point in the letter. Turning point in the letter. He names all the problem, the state that we needed a Savior, and Jesus is it. And therefore, and hence, in view of what God has done, worship Him, turn to Him. Turn away from the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Be transformed into the likeness of His glorious Son. And the renewing of our mind comes through the revelation of the Word of God through the Spirit of God. There is no way to be transformed without the living Word of God alive in us. Then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will, against the temptations, against the lies of the world and of the flesh and of the devil. And as we are faithful to His word, trusting and believing in His word, His promises, God says, test me in this. Test me in this. We will be transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. The world will see a people who are different. As we have our relationship with Jesus, the world will see and they'll know that we are blessed. Why would the world see us as blessed? What would be one of their foundations to see those who are blessed? Don't all of humanity chase after happiness? Isn't that the end game for most of humanity? They want happiness. They want joy. They want to be happy in life. Church, do we have joy because we know Jesus? Because Jesus dwells in our hearts. Do we have joy? Is that our foundation? Is that the foundation that we have? I look at all of you. You are blessed. So blessed. Because you know Jesus. And that has to be our foundation. Nick is a blessed man because he knows Jesus. Not because he has a good sister. He does. He has an awesome sister, awesome brother, mom and dad. Has a great wife, a beautiful child. But he is blessed because he knows Jesus and he has a personal relationship with Jesus. And that has to be our foundation in anything. So church, are you blessed? You are. You are already blessed. What Jesus did on the cross for you, if you've ever accepted that into your heart, taken Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are blessed. Let that be the foundation. Dwell in it every day. Allow the grace of God to wash over you every day. Take the blessing and be a blessing to those around you. Now, how do we do that as a blessing to be a blessing to around us? And this is God doing it, right? He invites us into His kingdom work, saving of lives. What was the purpose of the temple of God in the Old Testament? Bring your offerings and tithes to the temple so that kingdom work can continue, so the Levites can do the work without needing to go out and do other things. That is continuing in the church. The offering that you give is not transactional, right? So I gave you this much, God bless me this much. No, God invited us, it's a blessing, to be able to give to the church so that the gospel can spread. So that the blessing that people need to know about Jesus, that work can continue on until Jesus returns. That's what we are giving to. Not only financially, but I see worship teams, right? The setup, all the things that we do, everything that we give, time, energy. If you look at the camp, youth camp down there, there's so much time and energy, effort, creativity, everything that God has given to us, they use that for the kingdom. That is a blessing. What other things can we bless other people with? Other than to let them know of the grace of God, the love of God, and introduce them to Jesus if they do not know. But there's no way they would like to hear that from us if we don't have joy in our hearts. And the only way that we're going to have our joy in our hearts is to know the grace and love that I have received first. We are a blessed people, right? We are a blessed people, and we are called to be our blessing. And there are so many different ways we can do this. And I want to encourage you to pray and discern how and the way that God is stirring you, right, to be part of this kingdom work, because everyone is called to be part of this work. So to conclude, let's go back with the question we started. Are you blessed? I don't see anyone nodding. I don't see anyone. You are blessed people. You are blessed people. If you want more of God, I want to encourage you after the service, let's sit there and let's just ask God, Lord, I want more of you. Please give me more of you. If you're a bit uncertain, that's okay. That's okay. Go home, think about it, ask further two more questions. What kind of a relation do I have with Jesus? Right? I want you to reflect on that. What kind of relationship do I have with Jesus? And what do I value the most in life? What's important to me? That would be the underlying foundation to say that you are blessed or not. Right? So reflect on those two questions. Jesus calls us to turn to his love for us. For in what he has already done, there is a call for us to live a life that honors God as blessed people. Our whole life is to be generous, to be with our lives, and we're invited, right, to be a blessing into this kingdom work. You know, it all starts as we embrace this truth that we are already blessed people in a relationship with God and through the revelation of the Word through the Spirit. We're going to be transformed in our thinking, in our lives. We won't follow the patterns of the world. We won't follow the desires of the flesh. And we will not succumb to the temptations. Even if we do, we turn and we come back to the love of God. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, forgive us of our sins when we have taken our eyes off you and onto the world. Help us to turn to you. Help us to seek you for who you are and for who we are in you. Lord, help us to be generous, for we are all rich in the glory of Christ, our Lord, who dwells in us. We truly lack nothing. Lord, help us to put our trust in you. And where our trust hasn't been in you, Lord, reveal that in our hearts. And forgive us, Lord. Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh. You're the God who provides. And we pray that our hearts will burn for you and desire you. Not what you can provide for us, but just you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.